Good morning, everyone. If you would turn in your Bible to Luke 15, I'll be reading verses 8 through 10. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
Amen. Fine job in reading the scriptures. I think we had a little shockwave there. Appreciate each and every one of you being here this Lord's Day morning. I appreciate the sweet sister bringing me that glass of water. She, something I don't say very often, but I have this perpetual stage fright. You can't tell it, but I've always had it. I used to, when I first started, have to wear a towel around my neck because of I sweated so badly. Over the years, I've kind of got over it to a degree, but it's still there. And usually, before I get up to speak, I sweat. And more times than not, by the time I get here, I've calmed down, it's gone away. So this is a fear that I've had all my life, all my preaching career, almost going on 30 years. And that's fine, and I accept it, and it helps me to be more prepared. Preparation is the best thing on earth for your fears, if you have stage fright. And I want to mention this, the Hansons, they're very humble family. They don't want any light to shine upon them. But Paul writes, give honor to whom honor is due. And I appreciate this family. Appreciate their desire to use not only their backbone, but to use their finances to bring glory to God. These Bibles out front, thousands and thousands of dollars. Thank y'all, brother. Thank this family for loving God and loving the truth and wanting and loving the lost. And may we do everything we can to help in this effort to take Bibles to those that are in need. Maybe some of these flyers, we could go on a door knocking campaign and knock on doors and say, look, if y'all need a Bible, come visit with us. And we can get them in the door and they get a Bible and may start coming to church. But thank you. I didn't even mean to go into that, but I thought it was good. Our lesson this Lord's Day morning is entitled The Lost Child. And our text is taken from Luke 2, verses 40 through 52. These passages seemingly tells us of a time in the early life of Jesus when he was lost. But as this lesson unfolds, we will see who was the one really was lost. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year after the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey and sought him out among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it ye sought me? Wit ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature with God and with the people and with man. Again, seemingly this is the time in the life of Jesus when he was a 12-year-old boy that he was lost. These passages do speak of someone that is lost. And I try to imagine the heart of Mary traveling a day's journey from Jerusalem and coming to the realization, "Where's my son? Where's my Jesus?" And how they sought him out among their kinfolks and companies and found him not. "Have you seen my Jesus?" they asked. "Have you seen my son?" they asked. "No, Mary, we ain't seen him. Where's he at?" Can I begin to imagine the anxiety in the heart and the fear in the heart of Mary or Joseph either when they came to the realization their child was not with them? The Bible, it speaks of the importance of when we are separated from that which is of value, the importance of going out and finding it and being reunited with it. In Luke 15, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost till he findeth it? And when he findeth it, he layeth it across his shoulder. And when he cometh home, he calls his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Come, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" Now listen to this. "Likewise, I say unto you, likewise, joy in heaven over, be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than 99 just persons that need no repentance." You can bring joy in heaven today, friend, by coming to Jesus, by obeying the gospel. All these brothers and sisters here, they will be joyful. Your soul is stained in sin. You need to get it right. Don't leave here guilty, separated from God. Take care of it today, and all of heaven will rejoice with you. And the brother read verses 8, 9, and 10 in Luke 15. And I'm not going to take the time to reread them. He did a great job. But he speaks of a woman who's lost a valuable coin and how she puts forth great effort in being reunited with that lost thing. But a child, how much more valuable is a child than a sheep or a coin? If a child is lost in this community, I say as far as the news of that lost child is noised abroad, then all the hearts of good, decent people will be praying for the safe return, and those, if possible, would come and join in the search. We got to find that child, and we'll not be content until they can reunite that child with their mama and their daddy once again. Imagine, try to imagine being separated from something as precious as a baby child, a boy in this case, or it could be a girl. Imagine the fear that reigned in the heart of Mary as they went among their family looking for him, friends looking for him. They couldn't find him. They'd done traveled a day's journey. "Where's my boy?" Then they turn back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And as they walk down that road back to Jerusalem, a day's journey away. I can only imagine how the fear each step she took, the fear in her heart was swelling, and as it come to a bend in the road, I can almost see Mary looking up, trying to look around that bend, wondering if she's going to see her little boy on the side of the road where some mean person does something bad to him. Can't even begin to imagine. Why was they separated from Jesus? Was they bad parents? Is that why they're separated from Jesus? They just neglected him. No. For Joseph is spoken of as a just man. It wasn't bad. And Mary is spoken of as finding favor with God. They was good parents. Well, maybe they just didn't love him. Is that what the problem was? No, they loved their son very, very much. But they was guilty of something. Something wrong. They was guilty of supposing. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Here it comes. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey and sought him out among their kinfolks and acquaintance. Guilty of supposing over something as precious as Jesus, as their own child? They were. And multiplied millions are guilty of the same thing today. Multiplied millions are guilty of supposing that Jesus is with them, but he is not. Just as Mary and Joseph was guilty, but he was not. And the same ones that would be guilty of supposing Jesus is with them today would never suppose over a business. Go into any old community, set up any old business, and suppose it's going to be profitable? No, you'd want to check out the community. You want to know what the need is in that community, and then you supply that need. Same ones that are guilty of supposing that Jesus is with them today would never be guilty of supposing over something like the stock market. Take all their money out of the bank, go down and give it to a broker and say, I don't care what market you put in, I don't care because I've supposed it's going to give me a good return. They'd never be guilty of supposing over a business or supposing over a stock market. They never would be guilty of supposing over a property line. I want to buy this house. It looks good. And I suppose the property line goes down to the tree line. No, they'll want to know. They'll ask, where's the property line, Ron? They may even hire a surveyor so they'll know exactly where the property line is. Yet, their multiplied millions are assembling together today in different buildings across America and throughout this world, guilty of supposing that Jesus is with them, but he is not. Why? Why wouldn't they suppose over a business? Why wouldn't they be guilty of supposing over the return of a stock market? Why wouldn't they be guilty of supposing that the property line goes down to the tree line? Why? I'll tell you why. Because a business, a stock market, or property line is too valuable to suppose over. And then I say this, how much more valuable is it to know that Jesus is with you? And hey, you can know. We don't have to guess. You can know. Matthew 28, beginning verse 18. I'll be reading from the King James Version. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. Watch it. Here it is. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So I can know Jesus is with me, this verse says, if I'll go and teach that which he has commanded. We don't have to suppose, mankind does not have to suppose that Jesus is with them. We can know. John writes this in 1 John 2, beginning at verse 2. Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I knoweth him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I can know that I know that I know him. I can know that I know that I know him if I keep his commandments. And keeping his commandments, in part, is to be kind one to another. We can all be kind one to another, Ephesians 4:32. Be tenderhearted one to another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. We can all be kind. We can all be gentle. We can all be understanding. We can all be long in suffering with one another. That's how I can know, in part, that Jesus is with me. But also, in part, keeping his commandments, doing his commandments, is to treat people like I want to be treated. Hey, I don't want anybody bossing me around. And we should not be bossing other people around either. I don't want anybody pushing their opinion on me. And we should not push our opinion on someone else either. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would have men, you do to men, should be ever what you would have men to do to you, should do you, do ye also to them. I paraphrased that so long. Treat others like you want to be treated, that when it comes to try to say the real passage, the exact words, you saw what happened up there. We can know Jesus is with us if we do as he has commanded, if we speak as he has commanded. Mark 16:15. Go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. Before we go across the seas, let's go across the streets. And this is what the family of the Hansons are doing right here. They're going across the streets with these Bibles. Don't you know that these Bibles will be a great blessing to a family that can't afford to buy a Bible? Oh, everybody can afford to buy a Bible. No, they can't. Not get me one and get my wife one and get my children one. There's many families that can, that cannot. I can know that I know that I know him if I keep his commandments. Acts 2:25, it referenced the psalmist David. For David speaketh concerning him, here it comes, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Standing on my right hand, I will not be moved. That's powerful. I foresaw the Lord always standing before my face, standing on my right hand, I will not be moved. If I know that I know that I know him, as Jesus says, we can become more than conquerors. He is with us, standing on our right hand. When Mary and Joseph stopped supposing, what did they do? What did they do? They sought him out among their kinfolks and acquaintances, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Seeking him. Now, where did they seek him? Where did they go and look for Jesus at? Oh, they didn't seek him in the bars and the nightclubs and the beer joints. They wasn't going to find their Jesus there, and you're not going to find Jesus there today. Yet, my own good brethren go to bars and nightclubs. Oh, I don't drink, you say. I just want to go and sing a little teriyaki? No. I forgot what it's called. But you know what? Teriyaki. What's teriyaki? Teriyaki. And I have family, physical family that do that. Good people. And go to church every time the doors are open. But we shouldn't do that. You're not going to find Jesus there. And if I am a person and going to those types of places, you're still not going to find Jesus there, even if I'm there. Because he is not with me. They turned around and they sought him. Not for one day, not for 2 days. Can you imagine the fear in the heart of Mary and Joseph? They sought him for 3 days. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Why have you treated us like this? Why have you left us? Did Jesus leave them? No. They left Jesus. Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. They was grief-stricken when they learned that Jesus was not with him. Son, why have you done us like this? And what did Jesus reply? How is it you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And Jesus is about the Father's business today. Who's about the Father's business? The church. The church. And if I'm not with Jesus, it's not that Jesus left me. I've left him behind in Jerusalem because of my sins. Isaiah 59:1-2, the Lord's hand's not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities or your sins have separated you from your God, and your iniquities has hid his face from you that he will not hear. And time, I don't care who you are, you let life reach into your home and turn your world upside down. Let the doctor come in and say, I'm sorry, there's nothing else I can do. You'll hit the floor. At the least, figuratively, your knee will hit the floor, and you'll pray for God for some help. But if I'm not with Jesus because of my sins, then God does not hear my prayers. I'm all alone. But you don't have to be. You don't have to be. You don't have to be alone. Because the good news is, if you seek him sorrowfully, sorrowingly, grief-stricken over your sins, godly sorrow worketh repentance, you can find him. And it's not a question or not whether or not you can find him, because you can. The question is, am I seeking him? Mary and Joseph, when they came to the realization that Jesus was not with them, they turned around. And they went back to Jerusalem. And it was in Jerusalem about the Father's business they found him. They did not go and look for Jesus among their religious neighbors. He wasn't there. And we're not going to find Jesus among our religious neighbors today. I'm sorry, he's just not there. Not going to find Jesus among those that's following the doctrines of men. You're not going to find Jesus among those that's following the teachings of John Calvin or Martin Luther. You're not going to find Jesus in some church manual creed book. You're not going to find Jesus in some denominational creed book. He's not there. You got to get back to the Bible. And that's what time it is, my friends. Mary and Joseph went back to Jerusalem to find Jesus. And that's what time it is. It's time to go back to Jerusalem. It's time to go back and preach that old Jerusalem gospel. Listen, there was a time in America that the Church of Christ was the fastest growing religious institution in America. But that time is no more. There was a time, if you was noted as a member of the Church of Christ, you was noted as a Bible-toting, Scripture-quoting Christian. But that time is no more. There was a time the Church of Christ stood head and shoulders among all of our denominational friends. We had the respect that the Lord's church deserved, but that time is no more. There was a time in years gone by, it was not uncommon to go downtown and find Church of Christ preachers standing on the courthouse lawn or on the street corner preaching to the people in the community, but that time is no more. I remember some old preachers telling me about a time a man was preaching in the back of his pickup truck. People was gathering. And one man walked up, asked another man, what's he saying? The man says, I don't know. I just got here myself. But we know it's the truth because he's from the Church of Christ. But that time is not so much anymore. Now we're viewed as just another big, sick denomination. This is a fact. Years and years ago in Murray, Kentucky, the courts came into session. But the judge did not have a Bible to swear the witnesses in on. So the judge asked, is there a Christian from the Church of Christ here? Which there is no other. Brother raised his hand. The judge had the brother to come forth and had the witnesses lay their hand upon this brother and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's a true story. In the mind of this judge, if you was a Christian from the Church of Christ, then you was viewed as a walking Bible. but that time is no more. And that's what's time? No, it's past time. To get back the respect the Lord's church deserves, it's past time to be noted once again as Bible-toting, Scripture-quoting Christians. It's past time to stand on that old Jerusalem gospel. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I declared unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That's what time it is. Get back to the fundamentals, preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. And part of the fundamental is teaching the necessity of water baptism. All this other stuff don't amount to a hill of beans. Whether you have a piano in your church building, you have a woman preacher, if you don't get the fundamentals right, talking to them about all this other stuff don't matter. You got to get the fundamentals right and the other stuff will follow. So many deny the necessity of water baptism. Do you think Paul would stood by and allow people to talk down water baptism? That you can be baptized if you want to, if you don't have, want to, you don't have to? No, sir. Paul said you're going to hell. If you're not buried in water specifically to wash away thy sins, you're going to hell. That's what time it is. It's time to get back to that old Jerusalem gospel. It's time once again to be noted as Bible-toting, Scripture-quoting Christians. It's time once again to stand out among all of our denominational friends. I don't want to be viewed as just another denomination. Back years ago, if you want to know the truth, you called someone from the Church of Christ. But that time is no more. Are you embarrassed to talk about water baptism to your friends? Are you embarrassed to stand four square on truth saying you got to be baptized? I'm sorry. Not because I say it, because the Bible says it. And you give them book, chapter, and verse again, 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 again. Are you embarrassed to do that because you don't want any controversy? Listen to what Jesus said in Mark 8:38. If you're ashamed of me and my word, I'll be ashamed of you. Wow. Wow. It's time to preach the keys of the kingdom. As Peter preached so many years ago, how one must hear. You cannot believe without hearing the truth, but then you must make the mental decision to believe it. Then you must turn your life around and live according to the truth. And I'm not ashamed, Jesus, to confess, I believe you're the Son of God. And then you must be baptized. I don't care what anybody tells you, they're wrong. They're lying to you. God says you must be baptized to wash away your sins. God says you must be baptized for remission of sins. God says that. And God says it's not a sprinkling or a pouring. He says it's a burial. At that moment, not before, at that moment, you're placed into Jesus Christ. And he's with you. He's with you. Why? Because I've kept his commandments. Don't leave here supposing. You don't have to suppose. You can know that Jesus is with you. Will you obey? Will you please come before it's eternally too late? You need the prayers of the church because you messed up? Well, you need to come too. That Jesus can be with you once again. Please come while together we stand and sing. Yeah.